This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Welcome to 101.5 The Hawk. You're listening to Johnny Athens, and this is the Johnny Athens Variety Show. And boy, oh boy, do I have a special show for you today. I thought we would do another retrospective, because this gentleman, born Vincent Delaggio, tonight's show is a retrospective on the life's work of Vince Guaraldi. Known by some as Dr. Funk or the Italian Leprechaun, he traversed music, playing jazz, pop, funk, bossa nova, and working his way across the scene. Working alongside other talents from Stan Getz to the Grateful Dead, and perhaps best remembered for his compositions with Bolo Sette and as an unofficial peanut, composing all the tunes for the first 15 Peanuts TV specials. Alongside Linus, Lucy, and Charlie Brown, Vince Guaraldi was the genius behind those lovable tunes. A certain charm encompasses his work to the point where hear any of his songs as you will this hour, and you can perfectly picture those peanuts dancing along. So let us celebrate his birthday, July 17th, in 3 days, and art, as we tend to do here on the Johnny Athens Variety Show. He was really a talented individual, and he considered himself a reformed boogie-woogie player that went to jazz. He first found recording success as a debut group, playing live in August 1955 during a live session at the Black Hawk, a club in California. Here he played two tracks which were his first compositions, Ginza and Calling Dr. Funk. While he didn't prove to be commercially successful quite yet, these foundings, this start, was the beginning of a career that would traverse many different genres and many different styles. It was the nurturing of a talent, and here we shall hear how it sounded in the very beginning. Here is Vince Guaraldi's first composition, Calling Dr. Funk, on 101.5 The Hawk.
Thank you.
101.5 The Hawk. That was Vince Guaraldi's first composition, Calling Dr. Funk, or one of them, rather. The other being Jinza, which we will hear later on. As part of tonight's retrospective on the man who brought to life not only the cartoon of Peanuts, but his own imagination through his music. A talent, a signature sound. But as I had mentioned, he didn't find great success with this first recording, this live performance at the Blackhawk. It came a little bit later, actually, while he was trying to scratch at fame. Following the trend, as was in the late 50s, early 60s, if you recall, we did a show about samba music, Latin music, and we talked about the samba, which was popular at that time. And so what he was trying to do was capitalize on that popularity by releasing an album. An album called Samba de Orpheus, which was inspired by the film that came out in 1959, the Brazil-French film called Black Orpheus. And he had released that song, Samba de Orpheus, as a single, hoping it would be big. But little did he know. What happened was radio stations ended up actually playing the B-side, a little song called Cast Your Fate to the Wind. And it became a smash hit. The gentle, calming tune stood out amongst the airwaves because everything else was boom, bada boom, bada boom, samba, samba, samba. This quiet little, well, boastful but likable tune was able to stand out, and it was a hit. It cemented his career, and it brought to truth an idea he had with his career. Guaraldi, to quote him, said, "I don't think I'm a great piano player, but I would like to have people like me, to play pretty tunes and reach the audience. And I hope some of those tunes will become standards. I want to write standards, not just hits." Little did he know, well, perhaps he did know, he worked towards that goal, because Cast Your Fate into the Wind, or Cast Your Fate to the Wind, sorry, as well as some of his works with the Peanuts, Linus and Lucy, and a few other of his songs, are now jazz standards that have been covered countless times. And while many people know him for the Peanuts, he has this incredible career outside of them, which started with this song we'll take a listen to now. This top hit from 1959, Cast Your Fate to the Wind, with the Vince Guaraldi Trio, here on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. 101.5 The Hawk, that was Cast Your Fate to the Wind, the song that brought Vince Guaraldi his established prominence in the jazz scene. By now, he's established himself, he's playing great music, and he is exploring his style. In that song, you can really hear the style and the influence that would later go on into some of his works. I think it really, maybe it's because he found success. I mean, he could play so many things, but there's a certain emphasis, a certain kind of oomph that Vince's music has that you can just recognize. When you hear his songs, you know it's him immediately. But I thought, why not hear from someone who knew him not only as a great musician, but as a teacher? This is an excerpt from an interview with Larry Vukovich and his show, The Many Sides of Vince Guaraldi. Larry was the only student that Vince ever had prior to his passing. So The Many Sides of Vince Guaraldi show, which was about 5 years ago, was a tour he did just to kind of celebrate his teacher, play the repertoire, and get his music out there today. And it's very talented, and he talks about the stages of his career. So we'll take a quick listen to that, and then maybe explore some of what Larry has to say. So, listen closely.
There have been so many Peanuts shows, which are very catchy, but people don't know Vince. When you mention his name, unless I mention Charlie Brown, they have no idea. So that's why I formed the Vince Guaraldi Tribute Quintet. Vince's first thing was playing Boogie Woogie when he started. And then he loved Oscar Peterson guitar trio. So Vince had a very good trio with Eddie Duran, Dean Reilly. Then next he has a trio, piano, bass, and drums. Dizzy Gillespie loved Vince's playing. When Cal and Vince played at Birdland, alternating set, Vince told me, he said, Dizzy had me sit in every night, man. I wound up playing two sets. Bebop side of Vince. When we played, the energy was high. He never played one Peanut tune. He just wanted to blow. Then you have Vince's classical side. Vince made that into a bossa nova. The next thing from Vince was meeting with Bolasetti. Other side of Vince is boogaloo, funk. I have an original that I wrote for Vince, Vince's Boogaloo. And then we're going to do a salsa tune called Viva Cepeda. He recorded live at the Black Hawk. This is the first premiere performance in San Francisco. I hope we have a good audience so they can hear the more of a complete picture of Vince.
101.5 The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour as we take a retrospective look at the life and talents and music of Vince Guaraldi. We had Larry Vukovich, his only student, talking about Vince Guaraldi's work and promoting his show from a few years ago. And that was followed by Vince Guaraldi with Bolasette, which was a great way for Vince to explore his samba and bossa nova style, because that's what Bolasette played. That's what he's famous for, from Brazil. He had gone to the U.S., played with Dizzy Gillespie, and then went to San Francisco, where he joined Vince Guaraldi and his trio. Yielded a lot of great recordings, such as that one, which was Ginza Samba, which, as we mentioned earlier, was one of Vince Guaraldi's first compositions next to Calling Dr. Funk. And after having fun with Vince Guaraldi, Bola went on to form his own trio as well. But of course, you can't really reach fame without collaborating with others, so the two were able to mutually help each other. Just as one needs help from others to get fame, Vince was able to help others by simply making his music. People, as I mentioned, he wrote standards, not hits, as he said. He wrote standards, which of course other people, other musicians listen to, and then very often they cover. I find in jazz the word cover isn't really appropriate, because it'll sound different with every artist that plays a song. But they take their impressions of the song, they play it, they add their own spin and their style. For example, after Vince Guaraldi passed away, Ed Bogus took over for him in terms of composing for the Peanuts. And Vince Guaraldi was the reason Ed Bogus originally took an interest in jazz. He heard Vince's work and said, that's something I've got to do. And it transcends even from the 70s. It transcends to even today. For example, the jazz trio Agita did their cover of Linus and Lucy with a psychedelic free jazz cover, rather than his swing and bebop kind of hard bop style from just a few years ago. So his music is living on, and I guess we can see how others were influenced by him, or at least hear how others were influenced from him. So we'll start with Ed Bogus there. We mentioned him, and he went on to also compose for Ralph Bakshi, prior to doing the Peanuts, actually, for Fritz the Cat. So this is a song from Fritz the Cat with Ed Bogus's House Rock on 101.5 The Hawk. We'll be right back. Wow. 101.5 The Hawk, Johnny Athens here, part of today's retrospective of Vince Guaraldi's work. We're taking a look at some of the people that were influenced by him, and that was Ojita playing Linus and Lucy. Isn't it? That's what I love about jazz. Isn't that fantastic? You can get the da-na-na-na-na-na, and just that simple, very classic Linus and Lucy tune, as we've heard so many times, and then boom, this psychedelic jazz, and it's something completely different. And then before that, we had Ed Bogus, who got into jazz because of listening to Vince Guaraldi, and later went on to fill his role for the Peanuts specials, playing a song from Ralph Bakshi's Fritz the Cat, House Rock. You can hear a nice funk in Ed Bogus's style. I guess he kind of took that, or maybe it was just a coincidence. He had that as well as Vince. That's why he felt so connected to him. But as wide-ranging and as large as Vince's career was, it was unfortunately not very long. What is impressive, though, is that he was able to get so much done. Vince Guaraldi passed away at the age of 47 in 1976. He finished a live gig at a club, and right after this, he went to his apartment or his hotel room, and he had a heart attack. Earlier that day, he had finished recording music for It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown, which was set to come out, or did come out, in September of that year. For, appropriately, Arbor Day. But from his passing, we did get a lot of good memories dug up. George Winston, a very famous jazz guitarist, sent out a tribute album, Linus and Lucy, the music of Vince Guaraldi. David Benoit, another jazz musician, often credited Guaraldi for his start in music as well. And there was also a two-hour documentary that came out in 2010 titled The Anatomy of Vince Guaraldi, and it was screened at a jazz festival with features from George Winston, Dave Brubeck, John Hendricks, Paul Krasner, and many more. Jerry Grinnelli, Eddie Duran, which he played with for the Peanuts and part of his trio. He had played with so many different musicians through the years, and he liked to change up the trio, probably to keep it fresh and exciting. But with a constant workload and a youthful, energized lifestyle, he went the way he wanted to, and that was living to the fullest, and we're glad to have had him. Some great music. And here is the song that he played just before he passed at the club, Eleanor Rigby. Staying as hip as ever, as Vince Guaraldi was, he was playing the Beatles' famous Eleanor Rigby in only the style and only the way that Vince Guaraldi can. So let's take a listen to that here on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. 101.5 The Hawk. This is the Johnny Athens Variety Hour, and that concludes our retrospective of Vince Guaraldi for this week's show. It was a pleasure. I hope you had fun. I think we learned a lot. He was a man who was energized and loved his work. I bet you if you asked him if you could be anything else besides a jazz musician or a musician at all, he'd probably say he couldn't. This was the only thing he had to do, and I think that shows. Like, he was talented in his work, he was passionate about it, and he tried it all. He did bassa, the bebop, you know, your standards and everything else. He managed to play with so many great artists. And wrote those standards. He came out with standards. Even a Christmas song. It's actually rather difficult to get a good Christmas hit. Like, what is the most recent one? Probably Mariah Carey, and that was in the 90s, early 2000s. So his, you know, Christmas Time Is Here is a standard, and it's one we all know. I know it's probably a bit of a groan to associate him so much with the Peanuts when his discography is so large and voluptuous as it is. But, I mean, that's how people get to know him these days. Dozens of generations now have grown up listening to his work without even knowing it. And who knew? It all started with a simple fact that he published that bossa nova song, that samba, and the DJs decided, hey, let's play the B-side. Because all we play is bossa nova, so let's play Cast Your Fate to the Wind. And bada boom, bada bing, he made it big. That was a song that got the attentions of the producers of the Peanuts, and that's what got Bolasetti to notice who he was and other jazz musicians to recognize, wow, this piano player is a piano boss. He's grinding on those keys. A talented man, and we're glad to have done it. I hope you enjoyed tonight's spotlight on Vince Guaraldi, and of course, go check out more of his music. It's great stuff, and we only scratch the surface, as we tend to do. But if you enjoyed the show, be sure to check out more stuff on social media. There's Instagram, johnny.athens, and Facebook, Johnny Athens Entertainment. You can find me there. And if you don't want to find me there, you can find me here next week. That's right, next Wednesday, 6 to 7. This is the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Thank you for listening. Thank you to those who thought of listening. And take care. Good night. To close us out, of course, Vince Guaraldi's trio playing Autumn Leaves on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you.
Thank you.